This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars episode number 4 was recorded on May 13th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. Julian Brigden from MI2 Partners joins me for this All-Stars episode. Julian, I've been dying to ask you about the Fed cut. We just had Danielle DiMartino on our last All-Stars episode telling us that the Fed should be cutting. Now, it seems to me, if one believes the economy is slowing, and I think we've got slowing signs in the economy all over the place, starting with the 10-year yield, that means that there's typically a 12 to 18-month lag to see the effects of interest rate cuts. So if that's the case, wouldn't now be the time to cut interest rates rather than waiting 12 to 18 months?
Oh, absolutely, definitively, Eric. We've been saying to our clients since the end of last year that the Fed needs to hurry up and to start cutting rates. We're starting to see, as you said, you know, it works with an enormous lag. I think the Fed has become essentially prisoner to the market. The correction in Q4 in equities has triggered a series of events which, unless they are rapidly circumvented, are likely to drive the economy quickly into a recession, be they anything from collapsing ISM, which we think continues to fall, through to tightening credit conditions, through to CEOs starting to look to beat their profit numbers by cutting costs. All of those are precursors to a recession. And unless the Fed acts quickly, cuts rates, and I would argue more importantly, stops messing about. And I mean, we talk about to our clients that they are cooing. In other words, they're talking like doves, but they're not acting like doves, because we forget that they're still doing ongoing quantitative tightening. And we actually think that the quantity of liquidity in the system, in other words, defined by the balance sheet, is more important than the price of that liquidity, you know, give or take, you know, 25 basis points. Who cares what the liquidity costs you? Most importantly is whether you can get hold of that liquidity, that they need to stop QT and arguably do more QE if they want to extend this cycle. So, yeah, I'm definitively in the camp. They need to get off their bum and actually do something.
Okay, Julian, but you and I may agree that they ought to be cutting, but they're not cutting. They're not getting off their tails. So what happens? And I don't know if this is Jay Powell trying to get even with Donald Trump or what, but what happens if the Fed stands pat and stays on pause for an extended time and does not cut or meaningfully otherwise change to an accommodative policy? What are the risks in that scenario?
So I'm afraid we're in quite a depressing place. Let me call it depressing. I think it's, you know, as we look at our research and we look at the feedback loops between the financial economy and the real economy, it's becoming increasingly clear, Eric, that we have become dependent on ever-increasing equity market. It's not enough for the equity market to trade sideways for, you know, a few years, which isn't overly unreasonable given that we traded essentially straight up for the last decade. We're in a situation where CEOs aren't paid to produce anything. They're simply remunerated on the basis of their equity performance. And so the minute the equity market stops going up, they look to cut costs. So that manifests itself in terms of faltering capex or faltering employment. And essentially, for anyone who understands sort of, you know, basic economics, it's sort of the equivalent of the paradox of thrift. You know, you sit, your wife turns around to you one day and says, darling, let's go out to dinner. And you say, you know, I don't really feel like going out to dinner. I don't feel good about work. I might get laid off. So you don't go out to dinner. The restaurant closes down 3 months later. And guess what? You get laid off because you've ended up in a recession. So essentially, a behavioral reaction function generates the very outcome which it's designed to obviate. So in the case of a CEO, he starts to cut costs to prevent the faltering of his equity price. That elicits the recession, which drives the equity price lower. That's one feedback loop. The credit feedback loop is another. We become highly dependent on credit, upon asset prices and ever increasingly higher asset prices. So, you know, whether that be house prices, whether that be stock prices, that's how credit managers decide what they lend. So the longer that the Fed prevaricates, the longer that they sit on their hands, the greater the risk, particularly as I discussed with QT, that asset prices continue to falter. We will slide into recession, Eric. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind whatsoever. We will just slide into recession. Credit will continue to tighten as credit officers logically look at faltering asset prices and logically tighten up credit conditions. We've already seen that with the consumer in Q1, which is why we've seen retail sales falter. We're already seeing it in the car sector. That's why we think car sales are going to drop significantly this year. And we're already starting to see it in the broader economy as equity prices are starting to falter, with a lot of companies in Q1 beating on the bottom line and on the top line. In other words, revenue isn't the driver for higher profits. It's cost cutting or cost savings. And that's just not sustainable. And if we want to keep this game going, if we want to keep this cycle going, at least for a couple more years, through the end of the election, which I think everyone would agree, the politicians, be they at the Fed, and I call them politicians, or in the White House, want to do, we need to cut. We need to get asset prices, be they house prices or be they stock prices, higher. Otherwise, the natural sclerosis, the natural cycle is going to take hold and it is going to slide us into recession. So I'm sorry, sitting on your hands is not good enough. And I think, look, in fairness, I think the Fed, and I've had conversations with the Fed officials that admit this, they can see the moral dilemma of yet again participating in yet another wave of easing that once again, you know, catapults equity prices higher. But morals aside, guys, you've got no bloody choice. You have to ease to keep this game going, or we're going to slide into recession.
Now, so far, we've been talking about monetary policy. Let's consider how fiscal policy comes into this. Suppose that maybe the Fed is just not cooperative. And so President Trump, of course, begins by making the Fed his scapegoat. It's all their fault. They didn't do what I told them to do. If they had cut when I told them to, that was all be fine. But now I'm taking the situation into my own hands. We're going to spend $2 trillion in the next 5 years on infrastructure. And oh, by the way, reelect me, working class Americans, so that you can benefit from that infrastructure spending, because it won't happen unless I'm reelected. That's the way that I'm going to overcome the mistakes of the Fed and save the day anyway. And of course, if it all blows up, we'll go back to blaming the Fed. How does that change your outlook if we had a massive, massive infrastructure spend in the public discussion, which I think it's likely to come into discussion in some form before this election is over?
I don't think it's likely to come into discussion. I think it's already in discussion. I mean, I think it's amazing that we seem to have an agreement, at least, you know, a face value between Nancy Pelosi and President Trump. And I think that that's a manifestation of the fear that the Democrats, or the, should we say, the incumbent Democrats have towards this shift within the Democratic Party to the left. For those of you who are Game of Thrones believers or watchers, you'll know that the White King is coming south. He's going to kill everyone. But it's far better, rather than turn around or join in and fight him, that you fight amongst yourselves so that you can live in the hope that you can defeat your real enemy, who's your next door neighbor, rather than fight this threat. And I think that's what Pelosi's doing. I think she views the progressive left as a greater threat. So I think that conversation, Eric, is live. I think that it's not a question of that fiscal stimulus coming over 5 years. I think it has to come over the next 2 years, right? If you're Nancy Pelosi and you want to get reelected on a strong economy, you have to spend that money soon. So I think that money's coming a lot quicker. What does it do for the Fed? Well, look, I think the Fed can choose to cooperate. I think there are some circumstances brewing at the moment which I think may force the Fed to cooperate. But if they were to choose to fight it, they have in their power the ability to derail it and really end up with a showdown with the politicians, both the Democrats and the Republicans, which is why I'm sort of inclined to believe that they actually won't do it. Because if they fight it and they raise rates in response to a fiscal stimulus that drives unemployment, let's say, lower than the current levels, you know, back to 50 or 60 year lows, you've got to really, really go back in time to find unemployment well below 3.5%. And it was commensurate with significantly higher rates of inflation. They can do that, but they'll catapult the dollar higher. They'll destroy emerging markets. They'll destroy the rest of the world. And the Chinese will probably let the renminbi go. And maybe we'll have a period of US exceptionalism driven by a sugar high of fiscal spend. But we'll come out of that the other side and things will be an awful lot worse. I think the Fed is a complicit companion in the reflation trade. I don't think they've got any choice. I think ultimately, given the choice between the risks of overly tightening rates and pushing us, you know, cracking the equity market, pushing us back into disinflation, slow growth, Japanification, as they would refer to it, they'll take inflation any day of the week. So I actually think they're complicit companions in a fiscal spend, both of which I think are going to help charge us to a, you know, maybe after a corrective dip here because of the trade situation, into a blisteringly hot economy into 2020.
Well, Julian, I can't thank you enough for a fantastic interview spot. We look forward to getting you back on the show in another week or two. Folks, you can expect more fantastic premium content every single day, so stay tuned to your Macro Voices feed. For Macro Voices Premium, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. Also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.